Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson with Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. We are at the internationally famous Herb's House, which is a coffee shop. Okay. It is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. And we do a lot of ministry out of Herb's House. We have our Bible study here on Thursdays. And I'm so glad you've joined us. We're thinking about the attributes of God. In other words, what God is like. And the most important knowledge for you to have is the knowledge of God. And so in this study, I want us to think about our spiritual God, our spiritual God, or our spirit God. And our text is John 4:24, which says, God is spirit, and that should be translated with a small s. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Kent, we have to have a right knowledge of who God is in order to have right worship of God, in order to have a right Christian life, in order to be, really to have right fellowship with other believers who understand who God is. Everything really flows out of a right knowledge of God. And what we're talking about here is that God is a spirit being. By that, what we mean is that he does not have a corporal body. He doesn't have a physical body. He is only a spirit. That is why when Jesus was born of a virgin, the uniqueness that this God who is without form or shape took on a human body, something that had never happened before. And so as we think of God, we must think of him as a spirit. Now, why that's important, Kent, is if God was restricted to a human body and could be nowhere but where that body is, then he could only be in one place at one time. But the fact of the matter is, God can be omnipresent, everywhere present, because he is a spirit without a corporal body. So, Kent, after we end up filming these sessions, when you go to work and when I go back to my study, God is with both of us because he is everywhere. And everyone who's watching today, God is with you, whether you're a believer or not a believer, because God is everywhere present, and God is present with you. Now, I know immediately what some people will think, Kent. Well, what about those passages that talk about, for example, the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16, or the feet of the Lord, Exodus 24, or the mouth of the Lord, Isaiah 40, the hands of the Lord, Isaiah 59, the heart of the Lord, Hosea 11, or the mind of the Lord, Romans 11. All of those might seem to indicate, well, he does have a physical presence, a physical body. But what we need to understand is the Bible is written with figures of speech, because the truth is so profound that many times it needs to be communicated to us by way of analogy or metaphor. And this is a great example, that God is so profound, that God is so awesome, that God is so without limits, that for God to communicate himself to us, he must come down to our level and use these images to reveal certain facets of himself. So the mind of the Lord simply indicates his brilliance. That doesn't mean that God has a human-like skull with a brain inside of it. No, it just means to communicate that God is infinitely brilliant and knows all things. Or the eyes of the Lord. God does not have eyeballs, but that figure of speech would indicate that God sees into every place, that there is nothing hidden from his eyes. So this is what we call an anthropomorphic figure of speech, assigning human-like qualities to this divine being who exceeds our capacity to comprehend. So another thing to say about this, and we need to talk about this, because God is a spirit being, he's invisible. And he cannot be seen. There's not a physical body, again, for us to see of God. So therefore, we believe in God by faith. We trust God by faith. We trust the God whom we cannot see. We can't touch him. We can't smell him. We can't taste him. We just, by faith, believe that he exists for very good reasons. And because he's put this faith within our own hearts. This also underscores the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to reveal God to us. Colossians 1:15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God looks like, look to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorified presence. So, Kent, let's talk about this aspect of God. It's a very important part of our knowledge of God.
Yeah, and it is. It's really hard because we're physical, mm-hmm. and God's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we were talking about it in the past where a God, I think, I don't know who said it, but a God who is fully comprehensible is really not God.
Mm-hmm.
So he's beyond us. So
yeah.
this is part of his condescension so that we can understand him?
Yeah.
Is that what him taking on this anthropomorphic language or a theophany, for example.
Yeah.
You might
yeah.
explain what that is.
Yeah, a theophany is rare times in the Old Testament when God appeared either as light or as an angel and took on some presence that could
the burnt
be.
Bush
yeah, the burning.
Came to Abraham.
Thank you. Thank you. That's excellent. And such that there was something tangible mm-hmm. that could be seen. They were very rare, mm-hmm. but they were very real. And that's a great example of that. John Calvin, writing in the Institutes of the Christian Religion, uses this analogy that God, in coming down to our level, mm-hmm. has to speak to us and reveal himself to us in very elementary ways. Mm-hmm. That if God just pulled back the veil and made himself known, it would so be over our head, we couldn't take it in. It'd be like trying to drink in the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. We just wouldn't even have a capacity to take it in. So little drops of self-revelation from God have come to us that enable us to better grasp who he is and what he is like. And that is what we need. And one day when we go to heaven, our knowledge of God will be greatly enlarged because we will be bodily with him, our glorified body, and we will see the bright shining light of his glory, and we will see the glorified Christ. But go ahead.
Well, it's an amazing thought, then.
Yeah.
To think that a God that we cannot grasp would love us so much that he would condescend down to our level.
Yeah.
That's I think that's where we need to stop and think about it.
Yeah, no, we do. And that's really the extraordinary divine invasion of this world in the manger when Christ was born,
yeah.
that there would now be God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And that we would see a holy life flowing from the holiness of God as Jesus conducted himself, lived without sin, mm-hmm. as really the attributes of God were put on display through the person of Christ in a visible, tangible way. So that really heightens the importance, really, of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can actually see what this invisible God is like. But also the book of Revelation,
mm-hmm.
and Revelation 1, and Revelation 4, and Revelation 5, and many other passages. It helps our faith to see what God is like.
And we look through a glass dimly right now, right?
Yeah.
We don't see nearly as much, and it's interesting. How much do you think God allows us to see right now?
Oh, just a very, very it's such a small percentage because of the infinite nature of God. He surpasses our comprehension. I mean, who is a God like you? And so what little he has made known to us is so relatively small compared to the immensity of who he is that we've hardly even scratched the surface of the knowledge of God. Well, this is important for us. We want to have a profound understanding of who God is, do we not? And it should humble us. It should encourage us. It should strengthen us. It should inspire us. It should motivate us. All of this is so practically relevant for our daily walk with the Lord. So God bless you. Thank you for being a part of these Steadfast Hope studies and devotions. And until next time, Steve Lawson with Kent Steinbach. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.